Welcome to the Your Home Podcast, your monthly real estate industry check-in brought to you by O'Brien Real Estate, where property advice is on the house. I'm Adam Paikin, and once again, I'm joined by the Greek stallion, I think we can call him, Stavros. G'day, Stav.
G'day, Adam. Welcome. And today we have some very, very special guests. We have the winners of the block.
Aww, thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, I'm very proud of doing this podcast today, Adam, because I caught up with Steph and Gian at the property before the auction, and I said to Gian, I said, look, if you win, could you come on my podcast? And I'm so happy that they're here because Steph's Greek.
Yeah.
The auctioneer for the guys was Greek. And our podcast is by me as well. So we've got Greeks all around. So congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Honestly, we are ecstatic and we're still buzzing really from it. And we didn't anticipate the result to be what it was. We dreamed of winning the block. We dreamed of even going on the show. And sometimes we pinch ourselves and we think, oh my God, it actually happened.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest part to comprehend. Like everyone's like, oh my God, how did, like, you've won the block. And I was like, yeah, I know, we're still digesting what that really means. Mm-hmm. Obviously the results that happened that day were like so unpredictable, but we're just, yeah, so grateful that we walked away with the win.
Now, I'm obviously a big fan of the show and I followed your progress very closely, but I do wonder, as I guess a media buff, how much of it was recorded and presented in a way, or how much of it was edited for, I guess, dramatic effect?
Oh, yeah, we can speak really candidly about that because we have all the way through. The show's a documentary style. It is very much what you see is what it was. And our experience was that exactly. So, and a lot of our friends and family who knew us prior, like, of course, prior to the show, everyone could see, oh my God, that's Steph and John. And I think It was like a really big awakening for everyone to think that, oh, a reality show, you know, when you know someone and you look at the screen, it's actually a really absolute representation of them. And that's how we felt.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone had that same experience, but that was our experience.
Yeah. I think for us as well, like, that's exactly right, what Steph said. The formula of the block is just so down packed in the sense that you're building a house in 12 weeks. There are cameras admittedly everywhere. And that's like, there's always going to be drama because you're racing against time. And that obviously brings the best and worst out of people. And again, that was our experience.
Let me go back to episode one. I've got to say, I felt so much for you. You got caned. Now, my previous guest was Shayna Blaze, and we spoke about it a little bit, but you guys got caned on that first episode, and I thought it was so bad the way you were represented. And I think because of that, it's the old Australian way, we follow the underdog. And yeah. I've got to say, you know, you really shone through, and to actually end up winning, you should be so proud.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think when I look back at the first week, I look at it as a really hard week to look back at, not because of what the conversation was towards me or negative criticism. I really do respond well to feedback that is critical because it helps me critically evaluate and, you know, continue to be better as a person. But what I mostly struggled back when I watched the show was seeing myself quite vulnerable. And what you saw was a side of Steph, which was, I'm just trying to hold it together. It's actually quite a, you know, ethnic way of everything's fine on the surface. And really, you know, you're sort of crying inside because I was so overwhelmed by the show. There was, you know, cameras. It was the things that people didn't understand. And then it came out. And it's funny, when you feel uncomfortable, the way that it comes out is almost like maybe like arrogance because you're not necessarily engaging as much with everyone. And then maybe that would have rubbed off people maybe the wrong way.
And I think sometimes, you know, we do have a bit of a tall poppy syndrome in our country. Yeah, we can be quite mean. You might have been vulnerable, but vulnerability is what makes you stronger. And I think you guys, both of you together, the way you hung out together, the way you work together, yes, you know, like every married couple, you have a bit of a struggle. But while I'm talking about that, I'd like to say happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
How many years?
14.
So congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So that would have tested the relationship a little bit. And I think together you proved all the critics wrong.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
the block was definitely something that tested us as individuals as well as the relationship. As you mentioned, we are yin and yang. We literally have skill sets that are complementary to one another. We typically take tasks on in our own lanes as a couple, but the block really forced us to work together. And
Sometimes we would clash at that. Because we do think very differently. But on the topic of, you know, it challenges your relationship, the show, I will say, and it's sort of insider in the sense that being on the show, you and your partner, you really can only trust each other.
Yeah.
Mm. So that brought us closer. Although the where we were was challenging, the fact that we could only trust each other was like, okay, no matter how angry I am at you right now, when I look at you and you look at me, you're the only one that knows what's going on inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it brought us closer. And I'm like, we're shocked that that even happened.
Steph, before the block, you worked as an architect professionally. Did you feel that gave you a bit of a competitive edge?
Everyone wanted me to think that I had this massive chip on my shoulder, that I'm an architect and, yep, I've got this massive advantage. I actually saw it as the biggest negative because I knew I was coming with, you know, this pressure. And I don't necessarily and creatively, I don't handle this external pressure very well. And I learned that quite quickly about how to block that out. Mm-hmm. But the short answer is it an advantage? It can be once you're comfortable with the environment and the pace of the block. Because as an architect, I do not, you know, make decisions as quick as I ever did on the block. So that was the challenge. So as soon as I grasped that and I achieved, you know, that mentality, then it was an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everyone saw that literally within the first week. Obviously, we saw, you know, a side that we were trying to deliver this kid's room for the house to side, a challenge. And we saw one side where people were like, oh, Steph, she's an architect and she thinks she knows what she's doing. But the judges put her into place. And then fast forward 4 days when we've had to completely determine where our internal bathroom is. Yeah, look, Steph put her hand up and said, look, like everyone thinks I'm okay, but I'm not. And from that point, she was vulnerable with the camera. And, you know, at that point, she started asking the right question to the right people like Dan, like Keith. And that's, I think, where the advantage also started to come. It's knowing what to ask and when
to
ask.
And who to ask.
I follow and I love listening to Ben Crowe. He's one of my mentors that I like to follow. And he talks about things like this. And he says, it's important to be vulnerable. And you don't talk about when you were a child, you don't talk about the perfect stories. You talk about the imperfect stories that you would have done as a kid. Remember when we did that? How funny was that? And at the end of the day, my dad used to say the difference between comedy and tragedy is time. When it happened, it might have been tragedy, Steph, but now we can laugh about it. You know, it can be comedy. In saying all that, if you had that time again, what would you do different on the block?
You know what? I would never want to change any of it because of the outcome, but purely because of the growth, the growth that I was able to go through. So I actually don't want to change any of it. But if I was to go in again, I wish that I would have said to myself, or a piece of advice I would have said to myself was, stop feeling the pressure that you're the architect and just focus on your job and don't worry about the rest of the noise. And I can't say the first couple of days I didn't operate like that. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And look, that's the thing. Like, no matter how much research we did on the sites before, on potential builders, nothing could fully prepare you for the block.
Nothing.
And if anyone says they went into the block fully prepared, they're absolutely lying. The block is made in a way that it pushes everyone out of their comfort zone. And that's why the public really get to see the true characters of each person.
Yeah.
So, of course, you were the winners at 20 Charming Street, initially with a price guide of $2.8 to $3 million, which I think is a bit of a steal, Stav, but it went for a whopping $5 million, which meant you guys pocketed $1.75. You're millionaires now. Has that changed you?
Oh, gosh. No, from a perspective of we're still the same people. And
yeah.
And honestly, we don't feel like, you know, what even is that concept?
Yeah, we haven't really come to terms with what it means financially. I think, look, we always did have big dreams. Like, we're like go-getters. We try to be high achievers. And if anything, this has really just, more so from a personal perspective, brought us out of our shell and helped us grow as people. But also it's really obviously helped our future plans and fast track those.
Yeah. So if anything, it's not like we're going to, you know, hibernate now and sit pretty now that we've won all this money. It's like, how do we invest this money? How do we, you know,
make sure we're
we're using this opportunity in the best way. That money, as easily as the money came, it can actually go. And we're super, super grounded on that.
We made our own decisions and impressions on who was the villain and who were the good guys and the bad guys. I don't like to focus on any negative, but I'd like to focus on the positives. Who was, apart from yourselves, the nicest contestants there?
We obviously gravitated very closely to the girls, in the sense that they were our neighbours. We got on like a house on fire, and they really helped us through certain stages of the block, similar to how we helped them. So they were probably, I mean, the term nice, what's nice? Like, they were our kind of block besties, but we're also super close with Kyle and Leslie as well. So
yeah, and it wasn't about like the nicest people or anything like that. It was the people that in a really high pressure environment you gravitate towards, because you maybe share the same sort of views on something, or you feel like similar sort of ways. Like, I know Eliza and I are massive overthinkers, so I would speak to her, be like, hey, I'm overthinking this, like, what do you think? Do you know what I mean? It's the type of conversation that drew us to the certain people that we did. And also, you don't actually have time to have that level of depth of relationship with absolutely everyone. So being that the girls were our neighbours, it was so easy as well.
So for those listening to the podcast that haven't watched The Block, you used a style called Japandi, I think it's pronounced. Yeah. How would you describe Japandi style?
Yes. So it's Japanese and Scandinavian architecture styles like mixed together. And what I mean by that, because everyone's sort of just like, well, what do you mean? What are you calling it? Japandi? So what we sort of say, it's like a mixture of Japanese aesthetics, which is, you know, that balance and harmony of materiality, and also nature, bringing nature in. And then it's that's the beauty of wabi-sabi, that imperfection. And that's sort of what we learn on the block as well. It's like that imperfect perfect. And then Scandinavian design, which is minimalism, functionalism. And then how do we combine the two to create a beautiful feeling, cozy space that is also functional and not over ornamented? And that we would define that as Japandi.
Well, I did inspect all five properties, and unbiased, I thought yours was the best. I thought the girls actually had the second best. And my third favourite, which was a bit of a disagreement with many people, but I thought house one was my third favourite. Didn't like house two very much, but they were my top three. And I think that's what the public voted, or that's what the auction showed as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Your favourites is sort of the list of how it went, yeah.
Just for people that are looking at putting their houses on the market, you know, we obviously do a lot of appraisal at O'Brien Real Estate, and we list and sell a lot of homes. A lot of our vendors, they like to spend money on marketing, but not so much on styling their home. So what advice would you give someone who's looking at selling?
I think when selling, you really do need to play devil's advocate and think, if I was walking in this space as a buyer, what would I want to see? I think the one thing about the Block Real Estate campaign that is so unique and second to none is that people are able to develop an emotional connection to the home leading into an auction. And that's something that we really discussed with people throughout the whole lead up to the auction. We were there down in Melbourne, just having a chat with people, seeing what they thought of the home. And they said, this really does feel like a home. So I think really giving people that feel when they walk into your home, even if you are selling, that can get you that extra 100 grand, 200 grand, because it feels considered. And people will respect a home more if they feel like it's been thought through.
Yeah, and that, to your point, and how you translate that is through decluttering. It is through, you know, it seems simple to me, but maybe it's not. It's sort of like just remove everything and put back what is required in that room. And I would invest a bit of time and money in creating a cohesive thread in a home, because as soon as you walk in, it's not how you... it's not just about what you look at, it's about how you feel. And the only way that you can capture the feeling and the emotional connection that John talks about is through those subtle ways of architectural style, sort of all meandering and blending in. And that feeling that you get is like, wow, you know?
Now, each week you guys had to work within a certain budget, and a lot of our listeners who are looking to place their home and onto the market probably have a budget as well, which is probably zero. What are some of the tips you can give to give maximum impact at the lowest price on styling up a place before putting it on market?
It's funny because our style is honestly less is more. The whole concept is actually less. You just have to have the right amount of the right things. A bit of a plug of what we're doing, in the future here is creating a bit of a lookbook and helping people actually have the right things in their house. So stay tuned on that and our journey, which will be Japandi Estate, which basically sort of helps that. So, it's not hard, but you need to have the right amount of the right things, and we will assist in that.
One of the things, Adam, that I was most impressed with going through the five homes is the brochure that was put together. Now, there were two types of brochures. Oh. You had the short version, the long version. I've got both, but I loved, loved, loved your brochure. It was a 32-page booklet from memory with little QR codes where you could actually QR code per room. It would go to a YouTube channel and the guys would be talking and giving advice and navigating how they came about the room that they did. I'm looking at putting my house on the market, and I'm going to say I am going to use a lot of your tricks that you did. So, watch this space. I'll send it to you so you can have a look at it. But I thought you were brilliant. Master marketers is what I would call it. So whose idea was all that? And did that come from your agent or yourselves?
It definitely came from us. I saw it as an architecture sort of portfolio that I put together in my master's quite a few times. And the way in which I wanted that document to read had many revisions. And then when it came to that sort of tech angle about having that QR code, that was definitely John's area of let's do a link tree and let's get people actually being able to engage with it on the phone, because that's how things are now, right? Mm-hmm. So
a lot of it is how many times do you go through an open house and you see people trying to take that photo of that pitch ceiling, and then their significant other, their friends and family need to make judgment on the house based on their photos. And we're obviously moving into an age where real estate's evolving just like the state of the world and the way people make decisions. So we really wanted to capture the house our way, but in a high quality way. So if someone walks away with this brochure and they want to show their wife or partner this room, you can QR code and have a detailed rundown of exactly what's in that room.
But also the way in which you curate, whether it be the domain listing or whichever platform you're using or the book, it needs to be a story. It's like you open it up. This is the site plan. Floor plan, walk you through, and every photo needs to be, the next one needs to be the way in which you're walking through the space. That's how I created it.
As a last minute thing too, right? Like we had a big meeting with Ray White and their corporate team, and we were quite candid. We're like, look, guys, this is the way that we think it will run best. And all credit to them. It's probably not conventional real estate, but they ran with it with us, and they definitely did play a big part in the end result as well.
We will say we're super grateful for them being open to absolutely everything and anything and basically giving us the platform to do anything that we wanted.
It wasn't conventional, but you revolutionised real estate and I loved it. I've got to tell you from my point of view, we have 43 offices. We're the fastest growing franchise in Victoria and I've seen it all. I've been doing this since 1991. 95, 96, 97, I work for Ray White, so I know Ray White quite well. I've never seen any marketing like this. And you're right, your brochure, and it wasn't a brochure, it was a book, it was a journey, it flowed. And you're right, it actually went from one room to the next and it flowed properly. You guys can have a look at how I do my marketing, but I'm launching my place on Boxing Day. The reason for that, I've got intel that Boxing Day is the number one internet viewing day in Australia for the whole year. Number two is actually New Year's Day. So Boxing Day is number one, New Year's Day is number two. So I thought I'm going to launch my property Boxing Day, get ahead of the market. I'm on the Mornington Peninsula, hopefully it works.
Oh my God,
amazing.
Good on you.
Good on you and good luck for the listing. We're keen to see the the brochure.
Absolutely. And I'll be a critic. I'll be like, oh, maybe change that, flip that photo
Please.
Around.
Go
you might
for
have
it.
To send it through soon because you might have to get another photographer through.
Well, I looked up your photographer. So you used Impress from memory. Yeah. I'm looking at using either Urban Angles or Impress. So I'm on the same page as you are. But it's funny, I'll have you critiquing it, but I've also got Ash Patane, my associate that I work with, and he's my biggest critic. Jeez, he's actually modernised me, Adam. I'm 50 plus and Ashley's only 23. And
wowee.
And what's happened is we've got the yin and yang going on ourselves where he's got the link trees and the Instagram and I'm very old school. So it's quite funny to see how we work together too.
Got to get with the time, Stav. And hopefully with all those tips combined, you will also get $2 million over reserve for your place. Fingers crossed.
I hope so.
Stefan Gian, we've seen a lot of the contestants move on and have successful careers as builders, interior designers, real estate agents. What is next for you guys?
Yeah, so like we alluded to before, we are looking at launching a brand called Japandi Estate. So that will specialize in, you know, Japanese and Scandinavian blended homewares, bedheads, ottomans, artworks.
It's all the key pieces that you need to be able to style a space with minimal but massive impact. And then it sort of does lend into what we were saying. If you really wanted to style to sell your house, we're actually looking to sell our house too. So that's another stay tuned. But we're doing a style to sell series. So using our products, if you just use a few of these items and it's not so many, but you style them in the right way, those products or something similar, then you're able to, so it's
maximize on the sale.
Absolutely. So it's a bit of a how-to, constantly look into our life and a how-to and moving forward. But we'd like to be able to bring a product to the market too. And that's probably one part of what we're doing. Yeah.
And renovate it.
Sounds so exciting.
Renovating, not in the same time frame.
Well, keep us tuned in because it sounds very, very exciting. And it sounds like a new journey. 2024 is going to open up a lot more doors for you guys. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on today. Really appreciate it from O'Brien Real Estate and from SEN. I'm so excited to have you on today. So thank you.
Thank you for having us. It was great chatting.
Yeah, it was great chatting. We'd love to talk again.
Well, I'll call you and let you know about some good Greek tips, where to visit, where to go. Yeah. So when are you going to Greece?
We're going next year.
We might see you there.
Might see you.
I've got my daughter's wedding next year. I probably won't make Greece. We'll see how we go. Talk soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Steph and Gian, winners of the block 2023, $1.75 million. Isn't that great? If you'd like to email your questions through to the podcast, send them to podcast@sen.com.au. And for all things O'Brien Real Estate, check out o'brienrealestate.com.au. We'll see you next time.